Okay, good to welcome everybody. Welcome to the Motzoi Shabbos Shir for Parshas Vayishlach. Once again, this evening I'd like to talk about something which relates to the situation in Eretz Yisrael that we're still obviously in the midst of and will be for some time, but specifically something relates to us. When I say us, I mean those of us living here in Chutz Laretz who are not on the battlefield, on the front lines. The question of protesting, rallying, and advocating on behalf of Eretz Yisrael, which I think, as we'll try and demonstrate this evening, is obligatory upon all of us. And our point of departure here in Parshas Vayishlach, I printed a lot of psukim in source number one, Perek Lamed Beis of Bereishis, starting in Pasuk Chof Beis. Here we find, I'm not going to read all the psukim, by Yira Yaakov Mod. Yaakov was very frightened. Obviously, the last piece of information that he had from Esau was that Esau wanted to kill him. So he ran away and he's frightened now about this impending meeting. And one thing he does is, the end of Pasuk Ches, is he divides his camp into Shnei Machanos, in two camps. Right, and he says in Pasuk Tes, if Esau will attack one camp, at least the other camp will be free. As he prepared himself for the possibility of war. Then in Pasuk Yud, he starts to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak. Okay, it turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, I'm not really worthy of your support, but still in Pasuk Yud Beis, Hatzileni, no, please save me, Miyarachim Yad Esau, right? Please save me from Esau, you know, keep your word to me, and so on. And then in the Psukim, starting in Pasuk Yudalad, it describes that he sends a whole gift to Esau, and the Torah says, right in Pasuk Yudal, Vayolin Shom, Balayla Hu Vayikach Min Abov Yadom Mincha LeEsav Achiv. He's sending a mincha, means a gift, an offering to Esau, and the Torah goes on to explain exactly how many animals, this number of goats, and this number of camels, and so on. And he told them each, when they get there, he divided them up into different groups, and he told them, when they get there, tell Esau this is a present. Okay, this is an offering to Esau, from Yaakov, our master, to you, to Esau. And Yaakov is right behind us, and he said he wants to win you over, so to speak, with these gifts. Right, he saw the entire procession of these different gifts, and he stayed that night in the camp. Those are the psukim indicating. And actually, before we get to Rashi, you look in Perek Lamed Gimel, the next Perek, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, Vayisa Yaakov Eino Vayar, right, when he saw Esau coming with his 400 men. So again, he divided his camp, he separated his family with the different children, with the different shvachos and so on. And okay, so he's prepared himself for whatever was necessary. And Rashi, in the name of Chazal, tells us that he actually prepared himself in three ways. The Rashi is in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Tes. Right, he said, "If I have to fight, I'll fight. I'll fight if I have to." But hiskin atzmo l'shlosha dvarim. Yaakov prepared himself for this confrontation with Esau in three ways. He prepared himself for three possibilities. L'doron, he sent a gift, which is a form of diplomacy. Right, l'tfila, the davening prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al-milchama, to fight. And Rashi explains we get him l'doron l'halon. Right, the psukim that we mentioned at the end of Perek Lamed Beis and Pasuk Chav Beis. Right, it says v'atavar hamin chalponav. Right, that he saw this whole offering, and the Torah describes exactly how many animals he sent and so on. L'tfila, that's in Pasuk Yud, al-kei avi Avram, like we saw before in Source One, and l'milchama. Back in Pasuk Tes. So Yaakov, you know, prepared himself for this confrontation with Esau in three ways. Doron, as I say, literally Doron means a gift, a present, but we can describe that as diplomacy, a way of trying to win over the opponents to his side. And if necessary, and of course, davening, and of course, if necessary, war. This comes from a medrash in Koheles. The Pasuk says in Koheles, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches in Source 4, Tova Chochma Mikli Krov. Okay, the clay crow. Chochmah, wisdom is better even than weapons. So the Medrash in Koheles Rabbah says in source number 5, Parsha Tes Siman Aleph, Tova Chochmah Miklei Krov, Zeh Chochmah, says Yaakov, and Yaakov is considered to have been wise in preparing himself this way. And it goes on to say in the second line of 5, Hiskin Atzmo Shoshu Dorm, L'tfila L'dorna L'chama. Yaakov prepared himself for this confrontation with Esav with prayer, but with also Doron, again, I'm interpreting that to mean diplomacy, right? Sending him a present, trying to, you know, diffuse the situation, if you will, and to, you know, to whatever diplomatic procedures were necessary, and for davening. And again, the Medrash quotes the Psukim, Hatzileni Noi, Davin Takar Baruch Hu, and he sent this mincha offering, this gift, and Milchama, if necessary, war as well. So this was the procedure that Yaakov followed. And it's interesting because it seems that Yaakov followed this procedure on other occasions as well. You look in Parshas Miketz, in source number 6, this is when the brothers had come back, you know, after Yosef, they didn't realize it was Yosef, of course, gave them a hard time, And he insisted that he have to bring Binyamin down, and Yaakov initially refused. And finally, in Perek Mem Gimel, a gracious Pasuk Ches, in Source 6, Yehuda said to Yaakov, I am Yehuda, Shilcha Nariti, send the young man, Binyamin, with me, I'll guarantee. Otherwise, we're going to drop dead here of a famine. Anochi Arvena, I'll do what has to be done. Miadi Tivakshenu. We look at Source 7, the Alshech, there, Moshe Alshech, in there in Bereshit, in Parshas Mikates and Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Ches, Miadi Tivakshenu, Sha'alachem Imo, B'chochi Agadol Biyadi. Yehuda was a great warrior. He said, I'll fight. Send Binyamin with me. I'll guarantee, and if they start up with Binyamin, they try and take Binyamin, I'll fight. So he prepared himself for war. So Yaakov finally said in Pasuk Yud Aleph, so, Omer Lehem Yisrael Aviyem, in Kenef Ozos Asu, Kechum Izimra Asar, take a little bit of a produce from Eretz Yisrael, a little bit of this, a little bit of honey, different things, whatever they had, right? Bring a gift. Okay. In other words, he also prepared himself with, he said, Yehuda was ready to fight. He said, you also prepare yourself with diplomacy. And of course, the last pasuk I quoted in 6, Perek Mem Gimel, Bereishis Pasuk Yudalim, Bekel Shakai Yiten L'Rachem R'Lachem Rachamim, right? Davin, Takosh Baruch Hu, that Takosh Baruch Hu should show Rachamim and so on. So you look in the next page, the Alshech on Pasuk Yudalim says that Zohar Yaakov Avinu, right, when he heard that Yehuda's ready to fight, Yaakov remembered, oh, when he confronted Esav years earlier, he had prepared himself in these three ways, right? And he was matzliach, he was successful. So he said the same thing over here. You, Yehuda, are ready to fight. Okay, you're ready to fight. You prepared yourself for war. But also, achinu atzmechem gamat ledaron. Do some diplomacy, right? And do some advocacy work. Okay, he gave him some stuff to take down. And, of course, to daven, right? To turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'kel shekai yitein lachem lohem, yitein lachem rachamim and so on. So there we see that Yaakov employed these tactics for other confrontations as well. And if you look in that same Medrash in Kohelet Rabba and Parsha Tes, this time in Siman Gimel, the next Siman 8, the Medrash there says that later on in history, other Jewish leaders followed the same approach. There it's talking about Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. This was when Sancheriv was the leader of the people known as the Assyrians, not to be confused with Assyrians, although it was in the same general area, Ashur, right, Assyria. So their armies under Sancheriv invaded Eretz Yisrael. They conquered the so-called northern section of Eretz Yisrael, the 10 tribes, and exiled them. That's how the 10 tribes became the 10 lost tribes, because Sancheriv took them away. This is about 150 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So Sancheriv conquered the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, Malchus Yisrael, and he moved further south and was coming to Yehuda, right, to Eretz Yehuda, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, the Malchus Yehuda. And so Chizkiyahu was scared, and Medrash explains that there were three different times that Sancheriv, the first time they knocked out, first time Sancheriv captured Reuben and Gad on the other side, you know, of the Yarden, right, the eastern side of the Jordan River, the 2.5 Shvatim there, and then he came to the 10 tribe, and they came to Yehuda. So Chizkiyah prepared himself in the same three ways. And that's what the Medrash says, and it quotes different psukim. So you take a look, I quoted the psukim they found in the Medrash. Yeshaya Perek Lamed Zion, Source 9, Pasuk Tezva, Vayispalal Chizkiyah Hashem. Chizkiyah daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Hashem Tzolkos, and so on. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Hatei Hashem Tzolkos Shema, right? Look what's going on, look what's happening to us, please save us, and so on. Right? Pasuk Chaf there, Atosh Shema Lekeinu Hoshienu Miyado, save us, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for divine assistance in his battle against Sancheriv. In addition, you look in Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Tez Zayin, Source 10, and Medrash quotes all this. He also sent a gift, also tried diplomacy. He cut off part of the door of the Beis HaMikdash itself, expensive, fancy doors, okay? And he's, you know, he overlaid them with gold, and he sent them as a present to the king of Ashur. Again, that's diplomacy, right? I mean, that Chizkiyah tried that as well. And finally, in Divrei Yamim Beis, I mean, we'll get new doors to the Beis HaMikdash. Now we are in an emergency situation. So he sent them doors, these special, expensive doors. And in Divrei Yamim Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis, he also prepared his men for a war. In Source 11, Dvirayam and Perek Beis, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Pasuk, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Hei, Vayischazek, he strengthened the walls and so on, and Vayitain Sora Milchamos, he had officers and so on, military officers, and he inspired them in Pasuk Zion, Chizkuvim, so Al Tiro, don't be frightened, don't fight hard. So this was a tactic followed by Chizkiyahu as well, that he went ahead to prepare himself in these same three manners that that Yaakov had done in our Sedra, and later on again in Parshas Miketz. Much later, in Megillas Esther, the Akedah Yitzchak, the Baal Akedah, quote in 13 from the son, he says this was Esther also tried to figure out how best to get Ahasuerus to cancel Haman's decree. So the truth is, right? She invited him to the party, and at the party, first party, in Parakeh, Pasuk Gimel, source 12, Amar la Melech, Malach Esther, what do you want? Right? He didn't know what's going on. What do you want? So Pasuk Dalet, Parakeh, Megillus Esther, Vatomer Esther, Malach Melech Tov, Yova Melech Vamana, Yova Mishteh Asher Sisilo, from before the first party. She invited him to that. And then at the party, he asked again, I think, quote all psukim here, but he asked again, and so Achashverosh asked again. So Esther said, again, come back tomorrow. And Achashverosh wondered what's going on. That was a tactic, right? Achashverosh, what's happening here? He didn't know what was going on. She makes a party, a little feast for Achashverosh and Haman, and she invites them again tomorrow. The Kedesh Yitzchak said, she was trying to figure out what's the best way to do it. She knows, okay, that again, Yaakov Avinu saved himself from Esau. The Balakeda quotes from our parasha, right? Tefillah, pius, and Mechama. There was tefillah, prayer. There was pious appeasement and Muhammad. On the other hand, by the Battle of Amalek, so we also know that they had tefillah at a different time. They didn't have tefillah. She was trying to figure out what to do. At the end of the day, she kind of prepared herself for all these three things. Okay, and that's what Esther wanted to do as well. And it's interesting. You look at the end, just as a side point, he says, "Acher ken hutzuchal Muhammad tefillah doron." Right, Hamishteh v'Aydei Shloshtan Bo HaGula. The Gula came through all three things. We know she summoned all the people to fast. Tzuma Alayv, Al Toshin, Eretz Yemei Fast. All the Jews to fast and Daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, there was a war, and of course, she had these parties and feasts, which she offered them food and some kind of appeasement there. So, at the very end, the Baal HaKedah writes, the end of 13. Maybe that's why we have three parshas in a row around Purim time. Right, we have Parsha Shkolim. That represents the Doron giving a gift of money. Then Parsha Zohar. That's about the Muhammad. The Parsha Pora, which is relates to Karbonas, that's in a place of Tefillah. Okay, anyway, so that we find that she did the same thing. So this is apparently a time-tested method of preparing to deal with our enemies. We have to do things. We have to fight. We have to daven. We also have to do things on a diplomatic front. Whatever the situation calls for, to try and solve things. And, you know, when we need assistance from other governments, as in this case, we need the support of the United States, and so we have to engage in diplomacy here, all right? Now, the Barbanel says in our Sedrin Parashat Yishlach, Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Dalid, right? In Ebotech Hashem, a person has to trust in a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You can't just sit back and say, "Well, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will help." Kodesh Baruch Hu, what do I have to do? No, Yishtadel. Okay, you have to put in your Yishtadel. You should be happy with what you're doing. You have to Yishtadel. Af Kamachol Adar Mehem Ofanei HaHatzolah. It's not just davening, but also the war and the diplomacy, the gifts, also the mean of Hatzalah. They all come together. You have to do everything. You can't just say, "Well, I'll sit back and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it." Guys, wants a shidduch, you know. You can't just sit back and say, "Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send me a girl. I got to go call a girl and go out on a date," whatever. You have to do your hishtadlus. So it's the same thing over here. You can't just, everyone knows the joke of the flood, right? The guy's in a house. And so the flood waters are going higher and higher. So first a car comes by and the guy says, "Come on in, come on, we'll get you out of here." "No, I trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Then the water gets higher. So a boat comes by. "Got to get in here. The waters are getting higher." No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me. And finally the waters are up. He's sitting on the roof and a helicopter comes and the helicopter says, "Come on, get out, grab onto the ladder. We'll get you out." "No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me." So the guy finally drowns. So he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he gets up, up to Shamayim, he says, "I don't understand. I had such faith in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how did you let me drown?" So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "What do you mean? I sent a car, I sent a boat, I sent a helicopter?" You have to do your establishments. You have to do your establishments. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbo tells a very interesting thing. Parsha Ayin Ches, Siman Tezvav 15. Rabbeinu Karava Solik L'Malchusa Hav Mistalek Bahada Parshata. When Rabbeinu, presumably referring to Yehuda HaNasi, okay, maybe referring to other Rabbanon as well, as we'll see. When he would have to go to speak to the government, meaning to engage in diplomacy, he would read this parsha, Parshas Vayishlach, or at least the first part of this parsha, before going on a trip. He would get inspiration from Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov meeting with Esav, so he would read this parsha, Mistaka Bahada Parsha. And it says one time he didn't do it, then he didn't get what he wanted from the Romans, and so on, he got into trouble. So that's the idea. Okay, the Ramban brings that here in Vayishlach and Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Dalet first, in Parak Lamed Beis, Pasuk Dalet, he writes that Yaakov did not rely on his tzidkus, right? Pasuk Dalet, in the first line, Lamdeinu od shehu lo batach b'tzidkuso v'shtadel batzala b'chol yecholto. He tried to bring about his own salvation. He didn't just sit back and rely on a kashbar. He rather tried to bring about his own salvation as best he could. Okay, and therefore v'yesh ba'od remez ledoros. This is a hint that's, whatever the Torah prints is for for eternal thought, right? This is for eternal value. That kol asher, whatever happened to them, happened to us, right? Myself, a similar bottom, and so on. V'roi lanu lachos b'darkei shel tzadik, shenazmin atzlinu l'shmoshes hadvarim, shehizmin hu esatma. Therefore, the Ramban writes, we should follow the example of Yaakov and prepare ourselves when there's a conflict for all these different approaches that he did. The tefillah, of course, we have to daven. But Ladorn, we also need diplomacy. And, of course, milchama, if necessary. We have to do all of these things. And in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Tesvav, Source 17, he says, Rabbi Hoseinu Ro Od Bezeh Eitzah, and he quotes, he says, Rabbi Yanai, we have Rabbeinu, maybe it was Rabbi Huronos, whoever it was, but they had a gear to Rabbi Yanai, whoever it was, Karavasolik Malchus, when he had to go to Rome to deal with, you know, with decrees against Jews and so on, he would always read this Parsha, Parshas Vayishlach. And the Maharil later in the Rabban, or the later Rishon, the Maharil in Germany, in his Likutim, in his Minhagim, Os Chof Gimel, Source 18, Mahari Segal, that's the Maharil. The Maharil stands for Mariner Yaakov Levi. Okay, he was a Levi, and Segal is a Levi name, because the Rashi Tevas Sgan Lakon, it's like Katz is Kohen Tzedek, so Segal is Sgan Lakon, the assistant to the Kohen, it's a Levi, a lot of Levium are called Segal. Anyways, he was called Mari Segal, it's a Mariel, same thing. So he would say, oh, haya omer leparnos ha'akol, you know, he would tell the parnos and the askonim, you know, the people who were busy with things on behalf of the community, matai sheyesh lam isvayed b'tnai etzah, when they would have a big meeting, that, you know, for the sake of the Jewish community with non-Jews, he would tell them, go read Yechol Yikru Parsha of Yishlach. Not the whole Parsha, just till Me'exita, whatever, certain section of the Parsha, but read Parsha of Yishlach. V'cheinu b'sefer Nachman, that's the Ramban, right? That Rabbeinu Kadosh had said like that. So therefore, this was a practice. And the idea, of course, of doing everything that we can, that's in the Pele Yoetz, which is the Encyclopedia of Kashkafic Thoughts, one of the earlier Achronim. Chuas Hashem is the entry in 19. He said, it's true. Hey, Emes, the Chova Mutelis al Adam Lasos, Ishtadlos, the Chola Bomiado. You have to try your best. You can't just sit back and say, HaKadosh Baruch will take care of everything. Okay, we have to do our Ishtadlos. Then HaKadosh Baruch will help us. Okay, and again, you can read it there, just, you know, a nice presentation of it. And, you know, once we have this Chus and so on, so HaKadosh Baruch will help us. And he writes at the end, the third to last line, towards the end of 19, V'yilmod Kol Adam Aviv Yaakov. We have to learn. It's not just Stam, a story in the Chumash, but all these. The Ramban, the Maharil, they're all saying, Medrash is all saying we have to learn from Yaakov Avinu, right? Shehekin atzmal adorin l'pius melchama, right? And then, and tefillah, adorin l'pius means, again, appeasement and diplomacy. He tried that. Melchama, tefillah, all these things. V'zeh klal gadol linotze b'chol tzora. This is an important principle in trying to be safe from a tragedy, to try to prepare ourselves in these ways and so on. Rav Elbel Soloveitchik agrees, Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, and the Chedusha agrees in Siman Nun Ches here in Parshas Vayishlach, one of his commentaries on Chumash, collected essays or topics in Shatim of the Chumash, so in Source 20, he says also that Rashi said, you know, he prepared himself for these three ways and so on, and even though Yaakov knew he would, with the help of HaKadosh Baruch, he'd be able to fight against Esav, right, I'll fight against him, Mikol Mokom in the third line, Lechatchila lo yotzo negel mechome, he didn't want to go to war, that wasn't his first step, Elahiskin atzul etfilo daron, Bishtad delefaiso, try to appease and so on and so forth, again, political activism, the extent that it's going to help and to bring things down. And he says, to calm things down. When you're fighting an enemy and you need allies, okay, so then you need diplomacy. You need people who are going to be you know, able to win over. So he says, same thing. We have to follow the same things. That's what all these poskim are saying. It's interesting. The Mishnah Halacha, that's Rav Menashe Klein. Menashe Klein was a rabbi in Brooklyn. He died not that long ago. In his Chuvah's Mishnah Halachas, Chelek Yitessim in Shin Nun Hei 21, over Chuvah Shekasavti Lev Toronto. He wrote to a Rav in Toronto. Okay. He was asked about Goyim who were plotting all kinds of things against Jews and so on. Are we allowed to kill them, fight with them? He says, yeah, we have to. But he says, we should learn from the Ramban. First, trying to bring about salvation in a different way. Okay. Figure out, and sometimes the two have to go together. You have to fight, but you have to get along. You have to work on appeasement and pious and the, you know, diplomacy with others. Okay, and that's how Kodesh Baruch Hu ultimately saved us. So we get the idea. Certainly, I think it's clear that we have to be involved politically and legally and do what we can to assist the situation. We're, and I think particularly us here in Chutz Lartz, we're not in the front lines of the battlefield, but we can be in the front lines of diplomacy and advocating on behalf of Eretz Yisrael in terms of public relations, in terms of legal, in terms of influencing the American government. So I think this is clear that this is what's necessary. And the Menashe Klein also quotes the same thing from Yaakov Avinu. Now, of course, we understand very well that ultimately it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the given. Okay, we don't want to overstate the case. Of course, it's ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk in Mishlei, Perikof Ala Pasuk Aleph, it says, "Palgemaim Lev Melech Biyad Hashem." Right, the heart and the soul of a king is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Malbim makes a very fascinating comment there in Mishlei, Perikof Ala Pasuk Aleph. He says, even though we believe in freedom of choice, but not a king. Lo chein lev amelech. Look at that. Lo chein lev amelech. because once his decisions impact many other people, right? My decisions impact me, maybe one or two other people. But if he chooses a bad thing, he can harm a lot of people. So therefore, he quoted, so to speak, his thinking is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Meshech Chochmah in 24 makes the same similar comment in Parshas Va'era. Shmos Perek Vav, Pasuk Kof Tes Lamed. He says, Leiv Melachim Yisar Biyad Hashem. That's not exactly the Pasuk. The Pasuk is Leiv Melach Biyad Hashem. Anyway, Shemelachim Einon Balei Bechira. They lose their free choice, at least insofar as decisions that have to do with broader people, a broader population. Well, I mention that simply to illustrate that Rabbosai, we understand ultimately it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the given. Okay? But that doesn't free us from having to do what we have to do. As the Pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Kehashem Elokecha Beirachecha B'chol Ma'aseh Yadecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you a bracha B'chol Ma'aseh Yadecha. So the Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash, says there in Dvarim, Remez Tov Tov Ches 26, Kehashem Elokecha Beirachecha, Yochol Afilo Atah Yoshe Gebotel. Even if you just sit back, no, I don't want to leave the Beis Medrash, I'm just going to sit and learn, that's it. I'm just going to sit and do nothing, you know? No, Talmud Lomar, B'chol Ma'aseh Yadecha. That's why it says, B'chol Ma'aseh, Im Osa Adam, you do your part, then Areo Misbarach. You want to be Zohar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bracha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's assistance, you have to do your part. That's what this Medrash is saying. Then, Beracha B'chol Ma'aseh Yadecha. You can't just sit back and say, not my business, not my problem. So now, again, I spoke about diplomacy, that's dealing directly, one way of dealing directly with the enemy, but as it's logical to say by extension, that it deals with, you know, other, we have to engage in diplomacy with other people that can assist us versus their enemy, if our enemy are not interested in making peace, which it seems to be the case now, but we need support of others. So diplomacy becomes very, very important. That's the Doron of Yaakov Avinu. So I'd like to turn now to a passage in Megillas Tainis. Megillas Tainis is called literally the Scroll of Fast. Megillas Tainis was probably the first piece of Torah Shebaal Peh ever written down. You look in Rashi in Shabbos, Yud Gimel Beis 27, Rashi says, Megillas Tainis was Yashar Kol Mishnah Brisa Lo Ksubim. Other than the Mishnayis and the Brisa and so on originally weren't written, but these things were written to remember days and not a fast. What's going on here? It was a Megillah, right? It was a scroll which had certain days during the course of the year when you're not supposed to fast. There weren't Yom Tovim. It's interesting. Hanukkah and Purim I mentioned it, but you know, again, not real Yom Tovim. But there were days when something good happened to the Jewish people, something to do with the strengthening the community of fixing the Beis HaMikdash and so on. And they made like a little mini Yom Tov out of it, not to have any fast on that day. Today's parallel would be, we wouldn't say Tachanun on those days, right? That would be the parallel. The Lag B'Omer, whatever days are not exactly Yontem, but the day we wouldn't say Tachanun, right? That's Megillas Tainis. So it's Megillas Tainis divided up in Prokim by the month of the year. So Perek Yud Beis is Adar. So look at 28. Listen to this one. Esrim Mitamni Bei. On the 28th of Adar, you also don't fast. Why? We don't observe these days anymore. It's a different discussion. But anyway, it's in the Megillas Tainis. And Megillas Tainis is available. I have copies of it at home. You can get it. Okay, you can get it online. It says, Esrim Mitamni Bei, also Besurto Tavsal Yudoi. Good news came to the Jews. What happened? They don't have to abandon Torah and so on. What happened? The Greek government imposed a decree of Shmad against the Jews. Shall Yasku b'Torah, not allowed to learn. Shall Yomulas b'Neim, no Bris Mila. We know this from Chanukah too. Shall Yishmurus a Shabbos, no Shabbos, and v'Shiyavdu v'Dazor. Okay, now, as a side point, Yaakov Emden has our ghost on Megillas Tainis. I printed it in 29. He said, even though it says Malchus Yavon, that's a mistake. It's not Malchus Yavon. It's really Malchus Harasha, which is a reference to Rome. Okay, but for the censor purposes, they change it to the Greeks. Okay, with the, you know, it says Vesea Shibus Nas Miskaven Malchus Hira. Yaakov Emden said it was really in Roman times. Whenever it was, okay, it probably happened more than once. But there were these decrees. A decree was passed against Jews, outlawing Torah study, outlawing Bris Mila, outlawing Shabbos, enforcing Avodah Zarah. So, listen to this, on the fourth line of 28. Omdu b'holchu, to the Rabbanim at that time, went etzel matronisa achas. They went to a woman, a matron, matronisa, a matron. She was a noble woman, an aristocratic woman. Shekol mal gedole romi mitzuyin etzlo. She hosted, she was very politically connected, and all the Roman leaders would frequent her home. Okay? Then notla ate some, and they asked her, what do we do to get this decree canceled? So omra lahem, here it is. Bo v'hafginu balayla, go out at night and scream. Protest, hafkana, go have a demonstration, go protest, go have a rally. Okay? They did. Ishamayim, they screamed, Lo achechem, aren't we Jews also people? Don't we come from the same father and mother and so on and so forth? Why do you make all these zeras against us? Why are you picking on us? Why are you, you know, passing all these decrees against us and so on and so forth? And it worked. They annulled the decree. So therefore, they made this day into a mini yontif. That's the Megillah passage, Megillah's Tainus. And it's quoted in the Gemara. Besides being Megillah's Tainus, the Gemara quotes it. So in Shabbos, actually, this is not necessarily the same story. In Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Bey, it just says, Tanarban Pam Achas, maybe more than once. And I go to this Matunisa, and so maybe it was the same story, I don't know. And Rabbi Yeshua was the one who went. Matunisa, Rashi says there in Shabbos, Kupchav Zan Rebeis, Matunisa Nochis. She wasn't Jewish, right? According to this approach, Rashi and Bab Mitzi also, Peydal Malaf, Matunisa, Soris Nochris, a non Jewish noblewoman, non Jewish aristocrat. She wasn't a Jewish person, but the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yud Testament Aleph, quotes with a few slight differences, but not important for us right now. But the same story is in Megillah's Tainus. It's quoted in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Testament Aleph. They talk about Megillah's Tainus. It tells this whole story. It was the 28th of Adar and so on. And they made this decree. And so she said, suggested, Bo of Hafginu. What's Hafginu mean? So look in 34, Rashi, Rosh Hashanah Yud Testament Aleph, third Rashi, Hafginu, Tzaku, B'shvakim, Rechavos. Go out to the marketplace, the street, and scream. Right? Kadesh, Yishma, Asar, Rechavalakim. Say, they'll hear your prayer, they'll have mercy on you. Right? Go scream. So, so they said, Isha Lamana, Kodesh Baruch Hu, and so on. Okay. It's interesting. She told them to do it at night. Why at night? The Marsha is a side point. Marsha, there in Rosh Hashanah, the Chidush HaGodesh, the Testament of 35, Hifkinu, Afkinu Balayla, Tzaako Bechia Balayla Yosef Nishmas. At night, you know, screaming is more piercing at night, you know, it's somehow carries better. That's learned out from the Pasuk in the beginning of Eicha. You know, we read Eicha at night, right? Because it says in Perak Allah, Pasuk Beis Eicha 36, Bacho Sivke Balayla. Right? You should cry at night. Okay, and the Rashi there in Eicha says, Perak Aleph Pasuk Beis 37, Balayla Shekola Bocha Balayla Shomea Kola Bocha Imo. You hear somebody screaming at night, you get nervous, you want to scream too. Right, during the day, there's a lot of interferences. On night, you know, it'll be more piercing. Gemara has in Sanhedrin, Kuf Dalam Beis 38, Bocho Sivka Balayla Shekola Bocha Balayla Kolo Nishma. But the Varachia, other people join, even the heavens join and so on. So you get the idea. That talking about night is, you know, there's more of a chance of rachamim. In any event, whether so that's what she suggests, they should make this protest at night. The Gemara also quotes this Megillah's Tainus Brisa in Masechas Tainus, Yud Ches Malala 40. Okay, tells the same story. I'm not going to read it again. It's the same story that they in Megillah's Tainus. But there, Rabbeinu Gershom says Hafkina Belaila Kadesh Yishma Kolam. Right. So now, what was the nature of the calling out? So we don't need the detail now. Rashi says it says Ishamayim. Rashi there in Tainus, Yud Ches Malala 42 says it's like they were crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's like a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosis learns a little differently there. Okay, it wasn't a cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather, so to speak, in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, a little slight thing, not important really in terms of our details tonight. Okay, just so you see that word, Hafgana, it really is a form of screaming. That's how the Rashi explains. Rashi there in Tainus sends you, he says, look in the second Rashi in 42, and Yud Ches Malala in Tainus, Hafkinu means Tzaku, scream. Have a rally and scream. Okay? And it points out the word screaming is translated by the Targum from that same root. You look in the Pasuk in Tilim Parakov Beis, Pasuk Beis, Hashem Shima Tfilasi, okay, our prayers, Vishavasi Elecha Tavo, my screaming. So look at the Targum Yonason there in Tilim Parakov Beis, Pasuk Beis, Hashem Kabel Tzolosi, that's my Tfila, Tzolosi, like we say in Kaddish, Tiskabel Tzoloson, our Tfila, but Ushavishavosi, my yelling is Ufginusi, Afkana, same thing, my protest. Okay? Interesting is, Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, the great Sephardi poet, the Ben Ishchai, has a commentary on the Agadic passage of the Gemara called Ben Yehoyada. The 46, the Ben Yehoyada, there on that Sugan Rosh Hashanah, Yud Tes on Aleph, says over there, what was the idea of doing it at night? It's a different thing. Okay, but Ofanacher is a suggestion. Why did she give them an etzah to come and why did she tell them to go speak to the Romans yourself? Why do you have to come out the street and scream? Why do you have to make a protest outside? So he says, she suggests, okay, that we mentioned that all the Romans used to come to her house. She knew, says the Ben Ishchai and the Ben Yehoyada, in the third line, he yada shebelayla plonis yunesof metzla. She knew that there was going to be a big meeting at her house at a week from Tuesday, whenever it was. Okay, so she told them, come that night when they're all going to be in my house and stand outside and protest. Right, that's what she advised them to do. Come when they know that the Congress is in session. So come and protest in Washington, right? That's what she was telling them. She knew they were going to be by her that night. Okay. So she said, come and you know, we'll be talking about this issue. It's on the table. We'll be talking about this issue. You'll be protesting and screaming outside. So then I'll have the opportunity to bring it up and to try and smooth things over. So that was her strategy, so to speak. She said, if, and looking at a couple last couple lines, if I'll bring it up alone, then there'll be choshesh that, maybe, you know, you bribed me or you somehow won me over. So that's why I can't do it. But if you're protesting, screaming outside anyway, you know, so then we can talk about it. But again, yeah, that's the idea of a demonstration. That's the idea of a rally to get people to listen. okay, to listen to things that we need done, you know, to bring a help, bring about our victory, not just appeasement with, you know, with the enemy directly, but with getting what we want done, political advocacy and diplomacy and so on is sometimes necessary. That's what this Matronisa advised. Others say that at night, it's because during the day there's too much interference. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the Aruch has a word, murbeches. It's from a word in the Torah, Parshat Tzav. It's to do with one of the mincha offerings, Parak Vav, Pasuk Yedalad, and Tzav, Al Machbas, Pashem, and Tehesa, murbeches. The Ebenezer murbeches means, Yesh Misha Omri, Bimehera, quickly. He said, you have to do things. During the day, things happen quickly. You know, there's so much hustle and bustle. That's why at night, you have more time and so on. Okay, that's interesting approach. But whatever it is, we see that this Matronisa, this Roman noblewoman, okay, told the rabbis, right, Bo Bafkino, you have to make a protest night, during the day, whatever it's going to work. You know, if it's going to work better during the day, then you do it during the day. So this is something which I think is a very reliable and significant makor in Shas, in the Gemara, in the Brisa Megillas Tainis, that sometimes it's necessary to get the people who want to hear our message. We need to protest. We need to have rallies. Now, who engage in these protests? Who engage in these protests? Did the Rabbanim say, well, we're going to stay in the Beis Medrash? No. Okay. First of all, you look back at one of the source in the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis, back in source 30. They needed somebody to go to the Rome, and they saw it. Look back in 30. Tanar Bonim Pam Achas Hutzrach Dover Echad L'Tamini Chachamim Eitzam Matunisa Achas Shekol Gdol Rome Mutzinat Amru Mi Yelech. Who's going to go? Amar Lehem Rabbi Yeshua Ani Yelech. Rabbi Yeshua, the great Rabbi Yeshua, one of the great Tanoim. I'm going to go. He didn't say, oh, well, you know, I can't leave the Beis Medrash. Can't be about the Torah now. No, I'm going to miss out my Siddurim. No, he went. We find Kahena veKahena. Okay, numerous such examples. Okay, there's another passage in Megillas Tainis in Perek Tes, the month of Kislev, in 50. Okay, Be'esrin B'chad, the 21st coming up, okay, before Hanukkah. It was called Yom Har Grizim. What happened here? This is when, I'll say it outside to save a few moments, this is when, look to the end of the first line, Alexandrus Mokdon. That's Alexander the Great, Alexander of Macedonia. Alexander the Great was historical, and he conquered Eretz Yisrael and the Middle East. He conquered it from the Persians, right? The Persians were in charge. Well, the Jews backed the Persian against Alexander the Great, not necessarily because they loved the Persians so much, but they were used to the Persians, right? They'd been under Persian subjugation in the past, so I figured with the Greeks, who knows what kind of people they are. Persian, we already know. We know who to bribe and who to talk to, and you know, they were familiar politically with the Persians, so they were backed the Persians. Well, as we know, the Greeks defeated the Persians. Alexander the Great won. Okay, so the Jews were in trouble now. They backed the wrong horse. Okay, so they had to ingratiate themselves some way. And the Kusim, that's what this in Source 15, started up with the Jews, and they went to Alexander the Great, and they told them, these Jews were against you, and so on and so forth. Okay, so what happened? So in the second line of 50, they informed Shimon HaTzadik, who was the leader of the Jews at that time. Shimon HaTzadik was Mishari Knesset Gadol, it says in the beginning of Pirkei Avos. He was one of the Anshei Knesset Gadol. So what did he do? He put on his big day kahuna, he was a Kohen Gadol, he put on his big day kahuna, and he went with the Yakira Yerushalayim, right? The elders of Yerushalayim. And they stood before Alexander the Great. And again, you may know the story. He got off of his horse and he bowed to Shimon HaTzadik. Alexander the Great did, according to this rendition over here. What happened? The people were stunned. His officers were stunned. What? They never saw Alexander the Great do such a thing. Why did you do that? So Alexander the Great said, whenever I go out to battle, I have a vision in my mind of an old man with a beard driving me on, inspiring me to go to march to victory, to go fight and be victorious. And that's the face of the man. So that's why I bowed to him. Anyway, it worked out all for the Jews, well for the Jews. But why do I bring it up over here? Because who took it upon himself to go and engage in diplomacy with Alexander the Great? Shimon HaTzadik himself, Shari Knesset Gdola, didn't leave it to the Askanim, you know, the Tumulik. He went himself. And we see numerous other sources in Chazal for that same idea. Okay? In the Gemara in Yuma, Samech Tes Amar Aleph. The Gemara quotes that whole story with Shimon HaTzadik. Okay? And it's from the Brisa in Megillas Tainis. Okay? This gives it more detail than I won't read all inside now. But in any event, Shimon HaTzadik did it. You take a look at 53. Okay, Gemara in Gittin Nun Vav Med Aleph. Some people know this Gemara from Tisha B'Av. It's one of the Dvarim HaMutarim. Okay, with the Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Nasi. He was the chief rabbi in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was under siege, and there were different groups. There were Brionim. The Brionim, Rashi explains, Brionim were Anshim Rekim, right? They wanted to fight to the end and so on and so forth, and they didn't want to surrender. The Brionim, and they burnt the storehouses with all the food. Again, you can read through the Gemara. I don't want to spend all the time on it now because, you know, it's an interesting Gemara. But at the end of the day, Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted to work things out to speak to Vespasian, who was in charge of the siege of Yerushalayim at the time, And so he asked a relative, what do I do? I got to get out of here. They wouldn't let anybody out of Yerushalayim. So he gave him a whole ruse. Remember this, Gemara? He gave him a whole ruse to pretend that he was sick and he was dying, and finally he died. So they took his coffin out. They have to bury, you don't bury in Yerushalayim. In the city, they bury outside. And they took the coffin out. They marched out. And then he jumped out of the coffin. He went to speak to Vespasian. He cut a deal and he surrendered Yerushalayim. But again, who was the person involved in this? It was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself. He was engaging in the diplomacy that was necessary. And he surrendered Yerushalayim. Okay? And surrendered the Beis HaMikdash, in effect. And it's a noteworthy point on its own right. In exchange for Yavne v'Chachamel, the family of Rabbi Gamaliel, and so on. But still, you know, he surrendered. That's what had to be done. You can read through the Gemara. But you can see the same thing. Again, who was involved? Yochanan ben Zakkai. Another Gemara. Gittin Nun Ches Medala, 55. Tanabonon. Mai Seber Yeshua Mechananya Shalach Lekrach Godos Baromi. Yeshua once went to Rome because he was told that there was somebody there in the captivity. So he was involved in Pidyon Shruim. I spoke a number of weeks ago when he spoke of Pidyon Shruim. He found a kid who was being held captive, a kid. And he realized that there would come a great Talmud Chacham, and it turned out to be Rabbi Shmuel, right? And he redeemed him again. Who was involved? What was he going to Rome for? He wasn't going to Italy for a vacation, okay, to on a cruise somewhere. He was going there because he needed to plead the case to the Jews, in this case, to rescue this kid, okay? So Seftan Beitza, Perek Beis Alach HaChez, I'm just bringing you other rayas to this idea that the Gedolei Yisrael, the Gedolei HaChachamim, were involved in this diplomacy themselves, okay? They didn't leave it up to others. Mora tells a story again. Tosefta tells a story in Beitza, Perek Beis Alach HaChez. I'm not interested in the details that has to do with moving a candelabra on Yontif, not our issue right now. Now, Rabbi Gamaliel was there. Maisa Rabbi Gamaliel was a Kenosh, was Subin Baromi. They were sitting in Rome, okay? And the menorah fell. It was Yontif, and Rabbi Kiva picked it up. And I'll discuss you. A lot of picking, all of picking, I'm not saying halacha now. But all these stories, Rabbi Gamaliel and the Kenosh, Rabbi Kiva, they were in Rome. What are you doing in Rome for Yontif? What are you doing there? Obviously, they were there because they had to plead the case of the Jewish people. Another guy, Yerushalmi, in Sanhedrin, Perek, Zayin, Halacha, Yud, Gimel, 57. Dilma, doesn't mean maybe, it means Maisa. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamaliel, Salka, Laromi, they had to go to Rome. They themselves are the ones who went to Rome for, you know, to plead the case of the Jews. There's a medrash right? The Dalma means a Maisa. Fine, it's a Kromenade explains. 59. Shmos Rabba and Mishpat and Parsha Lamed Simon Tess. Maisa Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Akiva. We know I'm staying up all night, Pesach night. Matter of fact, just as a side point, I saw somebody, I forgot who says this now, I think with Yerach HaShulchan, in his Haggadah. You know that story, they were all in B'nai Brak that night, right? We know from the Haggadah. They were all in B'nai Brak. And a lot of people asked, what are they all doing there? They didn't all live there. Rabbi Akiva lived in B'nai Brak. The main Dragon of Akiva in B'nai Brak to this day is called the Chobre Akiva. Rabbi Akiva lived in B'nai Brak. But all the others, we know from different Gemaras, they lived in different places. Why were they all by Rabbi Akiva? So I think the Yerach HaShulchan, his Haggadah writes, somebody, I forgot to write it. Now, maybe not the Yerach HaShulchan, now that I think about it, but somebody once came across an Haggadah because they had just gotten back on Erev Pesach from a mission to Rome. So B'nai Brak is right by the coast. They didn't have time to get home. They got back right before Yontif. Okay? So that's these are the same people. These are great Tanoim. Get a Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah. Same thing, Parsha in Eschanan, Parsha Beis, Yunuchav Dalet, 60. Maesis, Rabbi Sena Baromi. They were in Rome, and they were speaking to the king, and so on, for all things, the emperor, the Caesar, whatever you call him. And it was for the purpose, again, to save Jews, right? To save Jews. And then that's the story in Dvarim Rabbah, because it was a decree against the Jews, and so on. So many, many such examples. And we have Halachas, Yuma Pei Vav Ben Aleph, Shalar Masr Ben Charsha, the Elezer Ben Azari Baromi. Right? He talked to him in Rome. That's when he came to Rome. They went there for those purposes. Blesman Bariosi says, I saw the tzitz when I was in Rome. Was he on a tour? He was visiting, went to the Vatican and so on. He saw the tzitz and how the name of the Kodesh Hashem on the tzitz was written and so on. And you look in the Gemara in Me'ila, Yudzayna Medalev, the list of this, I mean, you get my point, right? That the Gedolei Yisrael, the Gedolei Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda Nosi, and before him, Rabbi Gamaliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and all the great Gedolim went to Rome, again, not for vacation, because they know they took it upon themselves to get involved in diplomacy when it's necessary. And there's a Gemara in Me'ila, Yud Zayin, Alaf 64, Pam Achaz, Gozruk, Malchus, Gzeru, Shalom Yishmer, Shal Shabbos, similar Gzeru, not the same one we read before. Here we outlawed Shmer Shabbos, and outlawed Mila and Shivalos Anidos. The women should not, I guess they closed up all the mikvahs and so on. The Jews should be with their with nidos and wife when they need that because they close the mikvahs. So halacha Reuven ben Istrabuli, the siper kumi. What is siper kumi? Rashi says he cut his hair in a certain way that the Romans do. The Jews didn't, but he had his hair cut short in the front and a cane blower or something long in the back. I don't know what they call it, a mullet or something. I don't know exactly, some kind of his hairstyle, but it was a hairstyle that was common among Romans. So you know. what's the expression? When in Rome, do as the Romans. He was going to Rome, so he had to dress like in a way that they would ingratiate himself before them. Rebbe Reuben Astrubili did this. Okay, and later on, the Gemara says again, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Yossi got involved, Rebbe Shimon Yochai got involved. Again, you can read the Gemara for the details yourself, but the bottom line, Rebbe Yossi, is, and I'm trying to demonstrate to you, that it was the great Gedolei Torah, the Gedolei Yisrael. They didn't sit back and say, well, I don't want to interrupt the Seder and learning. I don't want to interrupt in the Beis Medrash. Okay, they themselves probably could have accomplished a lot in the Beis Medrash too. Okay, you had the rally a couple of weeks ago in Washington, D.C. So, and I was there when some Talmidim asked Rabbi Shechter, Shalita, to go to the rally in Washington. So Shechter's response was, look, if you believe that your learning is on such a madrega, we need learning. We need learning. No doubt about it. We know we discussed this another time. Omdos hayu raglena b'sharach yushalayim. What gave us our soldiers the zchus for victory was the fact that people were sitting and learning. So we need that too. But Rabbi Shechter said, if you think your learning is on such a madriga that's going to be a better thing, and he said, and you don't leave the Beis Medrash ever for other things. Okay. Taka should stay in the Beis Medrash. There are people like that. But to most people, he said, I'm not sure if my learning is, on that madriga. Rabbi Shechter went to the rally. Okay. Enough said. So the point being that, some people, but certainly not everybody. There's a very interesting tshuva I printed in 67 from Charles of Chuva's B'nai Bonim. Charles of B'nai Bonim is written by Yehuda Herzl Henkin. Okay, his grandfather, Yosef Elio Henkin, was the Rav here in New York. So unofficially, I guess, the chief rabbi of New York. He was the big posik before Moshe Feinstein, so when Baruch came. So Henkin, the major gaon, a major posik in New York. In fact, the luach, the Ezra's Torah luach, that all the shuls use, to know whether they're supposed to say Avarachamim or not. There's this Torah Luach, that's from the Pesukei Halacha of Rav Henkin, the grandfather. So his grandson, I think he passed away not that long ago, Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin. His tshuvas are called B'nai Bonim, sons of sons, in tribute to his grandfather. Anyway, B'nai Bonim, Chelek Bey Simon Nun Aleph, 67, the tshuva, Hafganos Laman Yehudei Rusya. Okay, people my age will remember there were all kinds of protests and rallies for the Soviet Jews. Remember, free Soviet Jews. We used to have Solidarity Sunday and go to the Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza and protest on behalf, and Washington protest on behalf of releasing the Jews from the Soviet Union. Okay, at the rally in Washington a couple weeks ago, Natan Sharansky spoke about that. And by the way, it was very powerful. He said when he heard about those things, because one of the things which his Russian captors told him all the time is, you're all alone. Remember he said that? You're all alone. Nobody cares about you. And when he would hear that there would be rallies and so on, and that gave him chizuk, that he wasn't alone. That was tremendous, tremendous importance. But in any event, so that's the tshuva which he was answering. We have these rallies in Soviet Jewry and not, and so on and so forth. So he said, look at 67, typical, right? Mashalta al echad migune rabbanim ratzol sabris pirsem isir lahafkin b'shem Moshe Feinstein, right? Some people published Moshe Feinstein asid having such a protest rally. Regular irgun rabbanim acher, different organization rabbis, tomach pafonof b'moshe omer shalom b'shaita gan b'yosef tov salavetchik shlita. That of salavetchik said it was okay. So he said, look, Rav Henkin writes, kevin she'inyan lahafkanos nilmad b'hagemara, like we saw tonight. Okay, the concept of protesting and rallies and so on is found in the Gemara. Like we saw the Bryson in Megillus Tainus, it's quoted in a few places in the Gemara. And he says, therefore, you have to look and figure out in each instance what makes the most sense. He says, you have to look at the Matisse. You can't say, he's on the third line, ain't somchamasha omrubo lifne esashonim. You can't say, oh, Moshe 10 years ago said this, Rabbi Salvation 25 years ago said that. Each situation is different. You have to look now what's necessary here and now. You can't say, maybe at that time there was a thing. Okay, but he said, yes, or Moshe Feinstein years ago, and maybe said Osir, but on the other hand, I heard, he writes, in the fourth line, Shemati Michosel Shita, Shechomiv Loya Osir Hayom. He thinks his father-in-law, or a Tendler, I guess, would not have asked it today. Circumstances are different. And then he quotes from Yaakov Kamenetsky, who writes that originally he was opposed to these rallies about Soviet Jews because he came from Russia himself. He thought they would be counterproductive. Right, so sometimes it can backfire. He thought it'd be counterproductive, but now the things are different. He doesn't answer anymore. So you have to look at each. And he goes, "I'm going more of his ignorance." My grandfather Henkin was always opposed to these rallies because he felt that they were not useful. On the other hand, Mitzias change, circumstances change, and today he would say different. So at the end, he writes just a nice comment in general. The end of 67. Ubeemes hagedolim yodim lishanos es daitum. Gedolim know how to change their mind based on circumstances. Haktanim ein lehem das or ein yodim l'shanos v'tolim atzma das gedolim is manu b'mokum shalolo dibru. Katanim, they don't know how to change their mind. They rely on something you know, that some Gadol said long ago, which is no longer relevant. Interesting comment. Barbei Kikulim Novim is that many problems come from that in general. But okay, we get the idea again. You have to look at each situation, and maybe sometimes a demonstration would not be a good idea. You have to figure out. You have to let the people with experience figure it out. But overall, there certainly seems to be an idea that this is of value. Bo Bavgino, that's what this lady told this Matronisa, this aristocratic, you know, Roman nobleman told the rabbi, do something. You have to scream to get out the streets and yell. And sometimes that's the type of diplomacy. And I think that that's part of what Yaakov Avinu taught us in terms of Doron, right? It's not just davening, and not just davening is important, and preparing for war is important, but sometimes you need other methods as well. But what about the fact that, well, you know, but many of the people attending these demonstrations are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs. They're not people who, you know, who we want to associate with in terms of their religious values and so on and so forth. My own opinion is, so what? You know, I don't have any issue with it, okay? Some of you may have heard there was a clip circulating from Rabbi Beryl Wine, who said, you know, what's the difference? He said, well, we're not fighting the reform today. That's a battle that was over 50 years ago. Okay, well, it's like Rav Henkins, that was an old battle. Okay, today you're going to see, what are you worried? That if you come to a rally and there are people there without a yarmulke, so you'll decide not to wear a yarmulke. I mean, it's not the, you know, he said, it wouldn't bother him who spoke. I mean, at the rally in Washington, they dafka didn't have any rabbi speak, and that was B'chavona. Because that way, I'm the Orthodox, and they have to have a reform, and they have to have a reconstruction. They had no rabbi speak. Good. Okay, made sense, but not defend anybody. But, you know, even if it would have been a reform rabbi speaking, so we're afraid that now that he spoke, I'd say, boy, he was a great speaker. Let me become a reform Jew now. Is that a real consideration nowadays? I don't think so. And in terms of tefillah, and I said we can extrapolate from there to Doron as well, to diplomacy, in terms of tefillah and tainus, we find the following. The Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. Shmos Parak Lamed, Pasuk Lamed Dalad. One of the ingredients of the ketores, the incense, the spice offering, is called the chelbena. I have a whole list of things. Kachosam, not of chelbena, and so on. Not of shchez, chelbena, different types of spices that were in the ketores. So Rashi comments there in Kisisa Parak Lamed, Shmos Pasuk Lamed Dalad, chelbena. Bosem Sherechora. It's a spice that has an unpleasant aroma. Smells bad. Okay, galbanum it's called, right? And he said, why is it there? Because we have to bring them in to our ketores as well. And he says, we learn a lesson from here. Lamdeno, shelo yekal benin letzarif imanu bagudas taniyoseno tfiloseno as poshe Yisrael. You have to bring in all Jews to daven with us, even the poshe Yisrael, even those quote unquote smell bad. That's a Gemara. Rashi make it up. It's a Gemara. Krisus vavmed beis 70. Amr chana bar bizna amr shimon chasida. Pol tainus shein bav mi poshe Yisrael ain a tainus. A fast which doesn't include poshe Yisrael is not a full tainus. Sorry, chelben a reichara, chelben a bad smell, but it was still part of the ketores. And Rabbi quotes a different pasuk, almost her test pasuk vav. Agudoso al eretz yisod. Agudoso. Rashi writes in Krisos 71. Agud masher kulon biyachad. We all come together. It doesn't matter that these people are not from the Shomer Torah. They're poshe Yisrael. We all come together. We're stronger. And that's the Shulchan Aruch points this out. Simon Reish tough Reish should test orachaim. Hilchos Yom Kippurim Sif Aleph. What do we say at the beginning of Yom Kippur? Right at the beginning, before Kol Nidre yet. Right after our world of tzaddik, Leil Yom Kippurim, seven tough reishu testify of Leil Yom Kippurim, Noogim Shomer Shlich Tzibur, B'yeshiva Shamalo, B'yeshiva Shamato, Al Das Hamokom, Al Das Hakol, Anu Matirin Lispalolim Abar Yonim. We say that Leil Yom Kippur, right? And the Bar Hetev there in the Shulchan Aruch, and seven tough reishu testify, cotton bays, right? Haim over him, people violate things and so on. We daven with them because it is Gemara, that for the Tainus Tzibur, Yom Kippur is a Tainus, right? We want all Jews involved. Okay, and the truth is that the Bar Almi Prague on the Rashi and Kisisa per Galamad Pasuk Galamad Dalad 75, and writes, okay, about the Chelbon and so on. He goes, now wouldn't it be better to have tzaddikim? Why would we have to have them all? Wouldn't it be better to have one of the tzaddik? And he says, no, because sometimes you can be inspired even by someone who's now fasting comes and Yom Kippur comes. You know, you never know. You never know what can happen to somebody, and you can be inspired. A Rosh or maybe a Rachami writes, Ki kasher rochok min Hashem yisbar hachno yoser. He humbles himself even more. Okay, to me, I have to be honest. It was inspiring to see at the rally in Washington, people without yarmulkes, they were screaming, bring them home just as forcefully and just as loud and with just as much passion as those of us who are wearing yarmulkes. Right? That people find that inspiring. In fact, the Bar Almi Prague says that that's based on a pasuk. Okay, Pasuk and Yoel, whatever, gather everybody together. Everybody has to come on one aguda, like we said. That's what Abaye says. But there's another unbelievable thing from the Droshas Haran. Drush Aleph. He writes, Zeha Inyan 77 on Nirmas Bechelbano, Anichneses b'samonei haktoras. Kelbana is included in the ketores. You know why? Because maybe by itself, it smells bad. When you put it into the mix, it can bring out the flavor of other things. Some spices, something salt brings out the flavor, right? So other things bring out the flavor. So that's how the Drosh HaRan, the Trumas HaKri, which is by the brother of the Ktos, okay, in his introduction to Choshen Mishpat, writes, that's what the Ran means, okay? Sometimes you can be inspired by other people. And the truth is, I'm going to be very honest, okay, we had this rally the other night here in Teaneck, based on the situation here with the Board of Ed and everything else. To me, the most moving part were these girls who spoke, these girls in the Teaneck High School, you know, who spoke about what then I don't think they're Shomesh. I don't know any of them, but I don't, you know, they're not in Yeshiva High School. They're in public school. Maybe they are, maybe they're not Shomesh Shabbos. I would tend to doubt that their families observe the Torah mitzvahs like we do. But nevertheless, we're inspired by that, inspired by hearing what they're going through and so on. It makes us, you know, rise to the occasion more. So Adarabba, one can argue, the same thing with the Hafganah, the same thing with the demonstration. You get together, just like in Tefillah, the Halacha, it's a Halacha. It was brought in the Shulchan Aruch, right? We just saw. Yom Kippur. We dive in with everybody. Kol Tainus, the Gemara says, Kol Tainus, Sheinim HaPosheh, Ein HaTainus. It's not a full-fledged Tainus, unless it includes everybody, including the Poshe Yisrael. So if we say that about Tefillah and about Tainus, one can extrapolate from the same thing with the Doron, same thing with diplomacy. We'll get people who are not necessarily, okay, we don't agree with them on other things. We're not going to be influenced by them in terms of our Shemir Samitzes, and we understand maybe better everything's up to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, but still, there's no reason you can't have other people together. And that, to me, you know, is what our challenge is at the moment. The Pasuk says in Koheles, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Tezvav, 79, some mistakes can't be corrected, some missing things can never be made up, okay? And Rashi in Koheles says, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Tezvav, 80, v'cheson l'cholim manos, means, zeshechiser atzma minyan haksherim. If you kept yourself away from a noble, important get-together, you can't make it up. That's the Gemara in Brochus, Chav Vav Amar Aleph. Okay, 81. The Gemara says, Mu'uvas l'chalisko, what that means is, zeshebitel kriyashma. You miss kriyashma. You can't make it up. Okay, that's a halacha. But the second part, the last part of 81, v'cheson l'cholim manos, zeshenimnu chaver l'dvar mitzvah lo nimnai mahem. A group of people got together to do something noble, to do a mitzvah, and you didn't join them. I think it's important. I think that it's wrong for people not to join when we have this necessity for Doron, for this diplomacy and so on, and we need as many voices as possible. Again, you have to look at each situation, like of Henkin, you know, you have to look, is it always right, wise to have a demonstration? You have to figure it out. Okay, but if there is, then we want everyone to join. And yes, even if it means joining with other people who are not Anshei Shomeinu in the exact sense in terms of Shmir's Torah mitzvahs, Adarabba. Adrama, look at Zav in the Eretz Yisrael now. How many people are wearing tzitzis in the army? They had to order 300,000 pairs, some staggering number of tzitzis. My brother-in-law is in the tzitzis business, tchelis, you know, so forget about tchelis for the moment. I think he told me since the war started, he can tie tzitzis very fast because he's in the business. I know how to tie tzitzis, but it takes me time, you know. He can do it in seconds, you know, the whole garment is done in 10 minutes. So he's tied, I think he said, over 1,000 pairs of tzitzis, green, like because they're sending him to the army. It's unbelievable. So what do you mean we're going to say we're not going to include these other Jews with us? It can't be. So just want to end off a very powerful thing from Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Nachman Rav. This is from the end of the essay, Kol Dodi Dofek, a major essay. It's been translated in English. And, you know, if you've never read it, you haven't read it in a while, translated in English, it's called Fate and Fate, F-A-T-E, Fate and Destiny. Translated in English. And there are other translations also, Kol Dodi Dofek. Kol Dodi Dofek is based on a pasuk, Koheles, my beloved is knocking at the door. And he talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking. And this, I think it was given in 1956 originally. And it's been republished, reprinted a number of times since then. And some of the stuff he writes could absolutely have been written today. He writes as follows. Take a look at this. And it's an indictment of Jews in America, including himself, because he was here during the Holocaust, and what we have to do now in terms of supporting the state of Israel, Eretz Yisrael. He writes, it's a book, it's called Divrei Hagos Haroch, the essay is called The Fake, it's towards the end of the essay, page 80, source 82, and with this we'll finish. B'shas Hashoah Hanoro, the horrible Holocaust. K'sheyadus Europa Hushmida, when the European Jews were destroyed, Be'ofen Shitasi, systematically, B'toi Hagaz V'kshana Ha'esh, in gas chambers and ovens, Lo nohaga kibbutz hayudim b'America b'tzur na'osa. The Jewish community in America did not behave properly, did not react properly. The lo paul kamosh yehudim b'alei todas, sheet of goral, sheet of sabal, gam sheet of pula, right? We didn't, for our purposes now, that's what he talked about early in the essay, but for our purposes now, we didn't behave like people who, you know, who were loyal partners and so on, who are imo hanokah b'tzor, who identify with other Jews, were supposed to, should have behaved. Lochashnu karoy b'tzar ha'uma. We did not feel the anguish strongly enough. And again, remember that he was here. So he's including himself. Okay, he was in America at that time. Basinu ma'at. We only did a little bit. Latzolas achino ha'umlolin. To rescue our poor brethren. Koshalada. It's hard to know. Kamo ayinu yukolim hasig. How much we could have accomplished. Ilo ayinu pe'ilim Yosef would have done more. I don't know, he says. Ani kishlasmi, my personal opinion. I think we could have saved a lot. Okay, if we would have felt the pain and the ache the right way, ilu harimono come back now to demonstrations. So Akko would have screamed in the streets. We hear Ashno almost shaking the world. The Ashno almost right, shaking the world would have gone and protest and screamed. She Roosevelt, that's what that word is. Roosevelt, President Roosevelt. He should have come out strongly and more strongly in support of the Jews and so on. Nothing about bombing the tracks or whatever. Whatever was necessary. Who knows? At least slow down the murder of Jews. Okay? We were witnesses to this great tragedy, the greatest tragedy in the history of our people. We were too silent. I'll probably not give you details, but Zeperek Machiv Biyosef is a very sad and painful thing to recollect. Avokulonu chotanu b'shtika lemare retzach milyonim. Too many of us were too quiet while millions were murdered. That is quite an indictment. The Rav writes in dramatic language. That's quite an indictment. We didn't do enough. Okay, now. Hashgocha menaso sonoshulpam. Now we're being tested again. This could be written today. And now this is 1956. We're being tested again about what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and he writes in the second paragraph there, Mina Roy Ligboa Kan Bagali, we should say now openly, Ein Hadover La Nogela Asida Politi Shalart Babad. Don't think that the threat of the Arabs is only against the political entity of Eretz Yisrael. You know, we're on land or whatever else. Mizimus Haravim Einan Mechuvanos Rakla Atzmuta Shalamadinis. And not just opposed to independence on Elaklape Etzem Kiyumo Shalish Bakar. They're against the existence of the Jewish Yeshua, of the Jewish population of Eretz Yisrael in general. Don't think it's a political thing that they want. They're opposed to any Jewish presence from the river to the sea. Okay, that's what it means, despite all the, you know, verbal and semantic gymnastics now being advanced in some places to convince us feeble attempt to say that that's just a, you know, a peaceful phrase. We know what it is. The Rav said it, right? They're against Haim Shoafim LaHashmid Chalila Sayishu Meish Varishu Melo Vajonim Mishovatah. They want to wipe out everything, period, said the Rav. Now he writes, talking about Amalek, his whole essay about Amalek, but I skipped part of it. Shnas HaShlosh Meraboyim, in the 30s and 40s, Amalek was the Nazis that had led by Hitler. They were Amalek. They were the representative of the hatred. But Kayom, Mimalim is Mikola Hamone Nasser, Nasser, you know, from Egypt. Mufti, Hajjamin Hossein, the Mufti Yerushalayim, Rav Mufti Jerusalem. They're the Hitlers of today. They're the Amalek of today. In the Shtok Am Ata, if we're going to be silent now, Lo I don't know how Kodesh Baruch is going to judge us if we're silent now. And this is 1956. So imagine today. We're going to be silent in the face of what's going on? Can't be. So therefore, the Rav says, Hava Nispala Ba'ad Reyehu. Let's daven. And let's feel the pain of the people in Eretz Yisrael. And Aleinu Lahavin, we know this now, okay? Because all the masks and the anti-Semitism and people, all the anti-Semites are crawled out from under their rocks. And we know it exists right here in our town and in America. Aleinu Lahavin, the Rav wrote, Ki Goral Hayishu Eretz Yisrael, Hu Gam Goralenu. The future, the lot of the people in Eretz Yisrael is our lot as well. Okay, Haravim, the Arab, Palestinians, call them whatever you want. Hichrizu Milchama Lo Rak B'Medina Yisrael, El B'chol Knesset Yisrael. We see it today. The fight is not only against Israel, it's against all Jews, all of Knesset Yisrael. And they are now the representatives of anti-Shemis, you know, the international, anti-Semitism and so on. That's what it's about, he says. And therefore, we have to do what we have to do. Never mind trying to ingratiate ourselves, because he said they're never going to be happy with us anyway. Okay, those who hate us were never right. We're not going to be happy anyway. We have to stand up for ourselves. And we said this is not just the Medina, but this is all the Jewish people. And we have to come to their aid. And we have to defend and so on. How? In whatever way possible to come full circle. Fighting a war, if necessary, as we're doing now. Tefillah, we should not let up our davening. And bo tzo'u v'afkinu, right? Sometimes we have to protest and engage in diplomacy and political activism and advocacy. And I believe that's the responsibility of absolutely everybody. And that's the way we'll be victorious. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear our tefillahs, accept our diplomacy, may it help it work, and give us nitzach and l'mechama. We should hear b'suris tovas b'korav. A good vach to everybody.
Good vach. Shkol.